Hello, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you happen to be watching this, our first installment of our midweek Lenten services. Today we're going to be focusing on the first five chapters of this book, entitled Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. If you have not received a copy or have not bought a copy, we'll be going through it. And as I'll mention later, there is a book study starting next Tuesday where we'll go over the first five chapters in more detail. But this is more of a worship time, a time for us to focus our hearts and our minds on our identity and our mission in Jesus Christ, especially during this Lenten season. It is 40 days that we as Christians are called to intentionally stop and think about who we are in Christ. So with that, let us begin our worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin this worship the same way we begin all of our worships together. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a minute to share that peace with the people around us. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of all steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God never stands far off, but is close at hand. In Christ Jesus, God draws near to us, offering grace upon grace, mercy beyond measure, and life without end. Be still and know that God is near. You who are troubled or in distress, you who feel separated from God's love, come to the cross where Christ receives your burdens and gives you rest. Be still and know that God is near. Come, you who are filled with fear or anxiety, you who tremble when the earth is moved and your world begins to crumble, be still and know that God is near. You who comfort those who weep, and you who wait with those near death, come to the one who is our hope and final home. Be still and know that God is near. Come, you who are burdened with pain or grief, you who are bound by guilt or shame, be still and know that God is near. You who cry out for wars to cease and violence to end, come to the one who will crush our weapons of war and turn our hearts toward peace. Be still and know that God is near. Come, you who are young and you who are old, come now, be wrapped in the comforting arms of Christ's unending love. Be still and know that God is near. Amen. We continue our worship time with our opening hymn, They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love.
And they'll know we are Christians by our
I find this bird offensive. I was sitting in my backyard just minding my own business, trying to prepare for today's study, when all of a sudden, peck, 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 on the fence, and it was right in front of me. Does this annoying little bird not know that I have a cubic truckload of work to do? Does it not realize that its pecking is annoying and distracting me from what I want to accomplish? Does it not comprehend that it is compromising the structural integrity of my fence, the fence that maintains the designation of the property line and differentiates it from my neighbors, who, by the way, have a dog that barks and has broken through our fence? But that's an entirely different story. When this annoying little bird pecks on my fence, surely it will cause damage. Surely it will cost me money. Surely it will affect my life. Surely this particular bird does not deserve the existence that God gave it. I am offended by its presence and everything it stands for. I am angry about its very existence. Come on now. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Of course not. I am not an ornithologist, nor do I play one on TV, but even I know it is within the nature of this bird to peck in order to get those little bugs and slugs that live inside of the wood, just as much as it's in their nature to fly, to mate, to propagate, to protect its territory, and do all those things that little birds do. It's just the way the bird is. It's its nature. So it shouldn't shock me, and it shouldn't appall me that this bird is pecking on my fence. And I'm absolutely certain that bird or its relatives have existed here in Colorado, in that area, long before people decided to build the house that we are living in and put up our fence to stake out my God-given territory. And I'm absolutely certain that having anger toward this bird is dumb. My anger serves no purpose, serves no justice, and certainly does not serve our God. Makes sense when we talk about birds, doesn't it? But what about people? First of all, I want to ask whose idea it was that we would cover five chapters of a book at each midweek Lenten service. It is ridiculous and it cannot possibly be done. This isn't a possible task. So if you want to get deeper into the topics of these first five chapters, I invite you to the Tuesday evening book study that begins next week at 6:30. The Zoom link is in the e-news. But today, even though it was a terrible idea, which I thought of, by the way, I'll take a swing at the main point of the first five chapters, which I believe is human nature and a choice. Like I said, we can be generous when it comes to birds. We can get our minds around the idea that birds are going to do what birds are going to do. But when it comes to other people, we seem to have unrealistic expectations of who they are or who we think that they should be. We are constantly surprised and shocked, appalled, and somewhat disappointed by other people, by their thoughts and words and deeds. We think that they should be living differently than they are. We think that they should be better people like us. We think that they should be living exactly according to the Ten Commandments. We think we know who they should be. As a matter of fact, we should all over them. But are they really the problem? Or is the problem that we don't want to look at ourselves? Because if we're completely honest, we have unrealistic ideas about who we are. We have a tendency to make ourselves the heroes of our own narratives, right? As we make our way through this anger-charged society. As we go, we keep finding things out there to be angry about. We keep finding people who offend us. And of course, as Brant Hansen points out in the book, we tend to be a bit self-centered about this whole process. He asks, whose perspective is the first one I hear? The answer is mine. When we take everything only from our own perspective, what starts to happen to us? We begin to see ourselves as the keepers of the truth, with a capital T. We begin to filter everything, the news, the media, social media, our world around us, and other human beings. We filter them through our own lens. And our world becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. But as we become smaller, our anger toward everything else out there that is different than us seems to grow. Which, by the way, is the exact opposite of what Jesus has asked us to do. He asked us to reach out to this world, to proclaim the good news to all people. He also asked us to be different than the rest of this world, right? A world that is desperately and constantly trying to justify itself. He asked us to believe that He is the one who justifies us, even when we don't deserve it. And then he calls us to share that exact same good news with other people in order to draw them to him. Not to us, not to agree with us, but to draw those people to him. I mean, when you read the Bible, surely you have noticed that Jesus did not become filled with anger or disgust or disappointment toward people who did not live up to his expectations. The exact opposite. He reached out to them. He lived with them. He ate supper with them. He loved them. Prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners, lepers, foreigners, people from other cultures, and even people from other faiths. He wasn't repulsed by them. He didn't reject them. He didn't say, you are just too icky, too immoral, too lost for the love of God? No. Instead, you know what he did? He died for them. For the icky, for the immoral, for the lost, for me. He died for me. And he died for you. And he died for all those people that we are so busy hating and being offended by out there in the world. So don't tell me that there is someone so broken or so bad or so evil or so dumb or so wrong that they are beyond hope or they are beyond the love of God. They are not. Jesus loves them, no matter what you think and no matter what I think. Jesus loves them. And besides all that, please don't forget that Jesus knows who we are. He didn't come to cure the healthy. He came to cure the sick. He didn't come to forgive the righteous. He came to forgive sinners. He didn't come to give life to good people who in their own minds are living these great lives and fulfilling every commandment of God and living up to God's expectations and capturing for themselves the kingdom of God. No. He came for us. Thank you, God. He came for us. So, what do we do? I mean, just like the birds do bird things, isn't it just a part of human nature to hate other people? To think that we are always right, to live out of our own perspective all the time, to think that we are better than everyone else, and to constantly draw lines between us and them? Isn't it just so easy to become angry and offended, to imagine that we are holy and everyone else is wrong? We say to ourselves, even if we say it in our own heads, we say to ourselves, thank God I am not like them. Or, it never used to be like this. Or, I remember when this was a good place to live before all those people from Wisconsin moved here. That's not the truth, with a capital T, which has been given to us by God. The truth is, it has always been the same. We are all the same. It is human nature. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to the radical teachings of Jesus, who is our Lord and teacher, I confess to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I stand as guilty as any other sinner, period. No caveats, no asterisks, no additional words. I stand as guilty as every other sinner, period. Whatever anyone has done to me, whatever anyone has done to anyone else, I stand just as guilty. And if I can accept who I really am, if I can acknowledge that I have and I will disappoint and hurt other people by my words and deeds, and other people have and will disappoint and hurt me with their words and deeds, then we find ourselves standing on a strange and vulnerable common ground. And maybe on this common ground, we can lay down our swords and quit being so angry, quit being so offended. Maybe on this common ground, we can see other people the way that God sees them, the way that God sees us, as people who are lost and sinful, fundamentally broken, sad and confused, angry and hurt. But at the same time, people who need to be loved, people who need a safe place, people who need another chance. Brant Hansen asks, what if we Christians can be known as people who cannot be offended? What if we make a real and serious choice and decide that we will be people who will love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, accept the unacceptable, and lay down our self-righteous anger and indignation and just meet everybody right where they are with the love of Christ? And then figure it out from there. Isn't that what happened to us somewhere along the way? Isn't that what it means to be forgiven? Isn't that exactly what it means to be loved by Christ? Invite you to take a little time for meditation and self-reflection. We close our worship time together tonight by praying together the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples, including us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to receive the benediction, the good word. You are exactly what God has made you to be. You have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as holy and beloved. And you and I are free to serve our neighbors. So, God bless us so that we may be a blessing to this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.